from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in the hour ahead, in 2014, California adopted the nation's first statewide ban on single-use plastic bags. But the ban never officially went into effect. The plastics industry stalled it by gathering enough signatures for a November 2016 ballot measure. And coming up on Forum, we debate that measure, Proposition 67, along with Proposition 65, another industry-backed initiative that proposes using the fees that grocery stores charge for bags to fund environmental programs. The ballot battle over plastic bags. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Our election coverage continues in this Forum hour with focus on Propositions 65 and 67, both put forward by the plastics industry. 67 is a referendum the plastics industry introduced on the November ballot that stalled the implementation of the statewide ban on single-use plastic bags. The ban was already passed by the legislature and signed by Governor Brown in 2014, and voters will now decide whether the ban will actually go into effect. Proposition 65 would redirect revenue from 10-cent fees on plastic bags to a special fund for environmental projects. This Forum hour, we discuss Props 65 and 67. And Leslie McClurg is joining us here in studio. She's a science reporter, brand new science reporter for KQED. Welcome. Congratulations. Glad to have you aboard.
Thank you.
Let's begin by actually telling us, if you could, sharply and succinctly, as is your wont, what's in each of these measures. I kind of outlined it briefly, but help with flesh it out.
Sure. Well, I think most voters, especially San Francisco voters, are going to feel like a little deja vu here, especially with 67, which is the statewide ban, because in 2007, San Franciscans voted to be the first city to ban plastic bags. And then in 2014, they did it again with a statewide ban that was signed by Governor Jerry Brown. And then immediately it was lobbied down by a group called the American Progressive Bag Alliance, the plastic industry group. It was immediately lobbied down. They garnered enough signatures for this referendum. So we are voting again, even though it's already passed, we're voting again. If you vote yes on Proposition 67, then you are voting for a statewide ban on plastic bags.
With a lot of people scratching their heads saying, wait a minute, this was passed in the legislature, signed by the governor. Why are we voting it again? But as you said, it was a referendum that the plastics industry got into it. And we'll speak with somebody from that industry along with David Lewis from Save the Bay. But let's talk about 65, because 65 is in some ways kind of attached to, even though there are environmentalists who are in favor of 67. But on different sides of this issue, where environmentalists are concerned, they are in favor of 67, but opposed to 65.
Right. So 65 is about the money. It is also backed, again, by the plastic industry groups, that Progressive Bag Alliance. But it basically redirects the money. So when you fork over your 10 cents, that money generally grocers take and spend on the paper bags and the reusable bags and or educational campaigns about reusable bags. But instead, this bill would redirect that money to an environment fund that would be administered by the Wildlife Conservation Board. And the argument from the bag industry is that, look, if you're going to argue that plastic bags are hurting the environment, then that money should go to clean up the environment. But like you said, a lot of environment groups are against this bill. They say it's a ploy to get voters to vote no on both bills.
So what happens, for example, if voters pass both measures, then whichever measure has a more yes votes becomes a rule?
Exactly. Exactly.
And if voters reject the statewide ban and approve 65?
Then local jurisdictions can choose whether or not they want to continue to direct that money to help grocers, or they can choose to direct that money towards this special environment fund.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. That's Leslie McClurg, who is now a science reporter for KQED. And let me tell you who's going to join us for the debate about these two propositions. David Lewis is here in studio. He's executive director of Save the Bay. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be here.
Good to have you, and good to have John Barrier with us, who is spokesperson for the American Progressive Bag Alliance. He's in Sacramento. That alliance promotes American-made plastic products and is part of the Society of the Plastics Industry. Welcome, John Barrier.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us. Let me go first to David Lewis, and let's find out about 67 first. I mean, you're talking about this in global terms, saying there are global stakes to get 67 passed?
Well, there are. I mean, the problem of plastic trash, especially in our oceans, is growing, and it has a huge effect on fish and wildlife. And plastic bags are one of those plastic items that we've already learned we can do without. I think maybe the most important point here is that bag bans work. And consumers, especially here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where more than 80% of the region has passed local restrictions on the giveaway bags at stores, and in Los Angeles and other communities in the state where this has been done, consumers have very quickly adjusted to life without free plastic bags from the store. And they've converted to reusable bags, which don't create any pollution. Or on occasion, if they find themselves without a reusable bag, they buy a paper bag at the store in most jurisdictions for 10 cents, which is about what it costs the store to buy those bags. So the fee is just really replacing it. But really, this effort on Prop 67 by the plastic bag industry is not only an effort to turn back the clock and go back to the days when we were creating even more plastic trash in our neighborhoods and choking our streams and our bay and our ocean. It's also being funded and supported entirely by out-of-state plastic bag companies who are trying to protect their profits by selling plastic bags.
I think listeners understand the argument against plastic bags, and we'll hear from the plastic industry. But 65 says it can kind of pick up the slack and do good things for the environment. What's wrong with that from your perspective?
Well, it's a really craven attempt by the industry to try to confuse voters. And we've seen this frequently in California on statewide propositions, where when an industry in particular is trying to defeat a measure, they put a second measure on the ballot, hoping that voters will be confused enough that they'll just vote no on everything. And that does sometimes happen. But in this case, voters shouldn't be fooled because Prop 65 has no support from environmentalists. In fact, Save the Bay and other environmental groups are actively opposing it. And the supporters of Prop 65 are the same plastic bag manufacturers that are trying to overturn the statewide ban on plastic bags that was supported by a majority of the legislature and signed into law by Governor Brown.
Again, David Lewis here in studio is Executive Director of Save the Bay. John Barrier is a spokesperson for the American Progressive Bag Alliance, which, again, promotes American-made plastic products and is the part of the society, the plastic industry. John Barrier, a lot of your argument comes down to saving manufacturing jobs, a good deal of it, in terms of both propositions.
Well, I think there's a bit of history here that was outlined, I think, at the outset of the segment here. But the critical things to understand about SB 270, so the bag ban that was passed by the legislature in 2014, the history behind this bill and leading up to this bill really needs to focus on how this bill was passed. You talked about San Francisco in 2007. Until around 2010, 2011, momentum for this type of legislation at the local level and at the state level had not really picked up until you had the grocery industry, particularly the California Grocers Association, getting involved in the lobbying game, lobbying aggressively at the state and local level to get these things passed, because at the end of the day, and what we saw in 2014, they wanted the money. I heard David mention something earlier about the cost of the bags for the grocers. Well, our industry is the one that provides bags to grocers, both paper and plastic. And we know that the cost for those bags is about 6 cents. So the minimum 10-cent charge that under SB 270 that is going to be applied to both paper and what they, you know, ostensibly have mandated, which are thicker versions of the plastic bags that they're banning. They're just five times thicker versions that laughably call for 125 uses, which we know based on research that people generally use these thicker bags 1 to 2 to 3 times. And the idea that these bags are somehow more environmentally friendly than the ones that the industry has provided and that grocers have wanted to provide for years, that are 100% recyclable, made from domestic natural gas, supporting a manufacturing industry that is distinctly American, 25,000 jobs across the country, including 2,000 in the state of California. This bill has nothing to do with the environment. This bill has everything to do with typical politics in Sacramento, where special interests came together because they saw dollar signs, and they passed a bill under the guise of environmentalism that ultimately is just going to enrich corporations and the members of the California Grocers Association. And because of plastic bags, the ones that are being sought to ban by this statewide bill, they have 0.3% of the municipal waste stream, according to the United States Environmental Protection Agency. Anywhere where this issue has been legitimately studied, plastic retail bags roughly account for about 1% of litter. So the idea that by banning this product, you're going to meaningfully reduce litter or waste based on all of the other things that contribute to that is just false. It's a fine talking point, and it's one that obviously David and members that are supporting bag bans like to use, but there is no demonstrated significant positive environmental impact because of this, because frankly, the alternatives to plastic retail bags, the thicker versions under SB 270 and paper, are not better for the environment.
Well, there's also concern, though, and we can get into this, and I suspect we will, about plastic bags getting into the waterways and the ocean and all of that. But I want to go back to, since you mentioned it as a talking point, Prophet, this referendum essentially meant a 22-month delay in what was passed by the legislature and also what was signed off by the governor. And I think the argument is that you in the plastic industry, it cost you $3 million, but you avoided about $200 million in terms of losses. Those are the figures I've seen. Do they correlate to yours?
Well, I think the industry was very steadfast while these bills were being debated in Sacramento for a number of years. And ultimately, during 2014, when in the waiting days of the legislative session, the bill failed in the last week and was only brought back for reconsideration because of a communication between a large grocer, an out-of-state grocer, and a union group, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, about an agreement with regard to where the money is going to go. And when that happened, you had the money machine in Sacramento and powerful special interests of the CGA and of the unions come together to flip 7 votes in the legislature. So that's how this bill ultimately passed. The industry, from the very beginning, was committed to defeating it because it wasn't going to provide any environmental benefit. It wasn't going to help consumers, and it ultimately was going to provide, a lot of threats to jobs in the state provided by the plastic bag and manufacturing recycling industry and across the country. So putting this to a vote, giving voters the choice to really understand the ramifications of this bill was something that the industry was very vocal about from the very beginning.
Well, what about when David Lewis says that 65, because you're backing 65 as well, I want to get to that with you. He says it's a craven attempt essentially to misinform voters or to divert their attention.
Right, and I appreciate David and the supporters of 67 that their comments about 65, and it'll be interesting to see ultimately on November 9th once, ultimately we believe 65 will pass, and money is being redirected to environmental initiatives, if they will be singing the same tune. Because this is the clearest measure out of the 17 measures on the ballot. It is the clearest measure, the most straightforward measure, which very simply separates the issues of bag bans and bag fees and where the money goes. If people in the state of California still want to ban bags, then they can go ahead and cast their vote as a yes on 67. But we know, based on research, that 82% of Californians are united in the opinion that money charged for bags at these stores should not go back to the grocers as profit. It should go to a public purpose. It should go to an environmental purpose. And frankly, the only way that a bill like SB 270 is going to have a meaningful impact on the environment is if money collected under that bill is going to go to environmental initiatives. And that's very straightforward.
John Barrier, again, is a spokesperson for the plastic bag industry. Let me go back to David Lewis, who, again, is executive director of Save the Bay. David, get your response to what you've heard here about special interests and about grocers representing those special interests and about minimal, if at any all, effect on the environment.
Yeah. Well, I don't even need to take my Save the Bay hat off, but as someone who was born and raised in California and lived here most of my life, I think one thing California voters are really sick of is out-of-state industries who are trying to protect their profits telling us what's good for California's environment. We've rejected those cynical efforts before, ballot measures that are paid for by out-of-state industries that are trying to protect their profits. And that's what's happening here again. There is nothing free about free, so-called free plastic bags that are handed out like candy at stores in California. They're not free. They cost the stores money, and that money goes to the industry. And they're used for a few seconds in most cases. They may be recyclable, but they're not recycled. And after more than a decade of effort by the industry and grocers and the state government to try to encourage recycling of plastic bags, fewer than 5% of plastic bags that are used in California for a few seconds are recycled. Where do they end up? They end up as trash.
But you know, the industry, I'm just interested in getting a response to the fact that the industry argues that the people aren't disposing them correctly. I mean, the burden or the onus, they would argue, wrongly falls on the bags as opposed to the people who want to have them and exercise the option of having them.
Well, I think the biggest demonstration of how successful and embraced these bag bans are is that not a single local ban that it's been approved here in the Bay Area or anywhere else in the state has been rejected or overturned. And when they've been put into place, after a few weeks of adjustment, all of us as consumers rapidly adjust to using reusable bags, and we don't miss the plastic bags. In fact, we love that we get to miss the eyesore of plastic bags clogging our trees, our storm drains, our oceans, and our shorelines. Now, you might say, well, why do we still need a statewide bag ban? Well, even here in the Bay Area, where cities have observed big reductions in plastic trash in storm drains, on our shorelines, affecting fish and wildlife, we still have bags here that are coming in from other parts of the state and that are affecting other parts of the state and are affecting our beaches and our oceans. So there's really no reason to turn back the clock except to protect the profits of industries that are out of state. These bag manufacturers are located in other parts of the country. And, you know, I appreciate John being on the air with us today. But, you know, he's an inside the Beltway lobbyist and hired gun. And so it doesn't surprise me that he doesn't appreciate what we're seeing, the benefits we're seeing from the bag bans here in California.
Let's hear back from John Barrier.
I'd love to address a number of points that David mentioned. I think, you know, from the top of the comments, what are Californians sick of? I think Californians, based on everything that we know through research, and I think has been written very, very consistently throughout the state, Californians are sick of special interest lobbying in Sacramento that is writing laws that is taking from taxpayers and doling back out to private corporations to pad their profits. That is something that is indisputably on the ballot this fall, November 8th. That is a choice when you have Prop 65, which redirects this money that was done and directed to grocers under SB 270. You have the option to take that money and put it to a public purpose. A couple other things that David said I want to correct is that no local communities have rejected a bag ban ordinance locally. Huntington Beach, a couple of years ago, after they passed one a couple of years prior, actually repealed their bag ban. They thought it was not effective at reducing waste or litter. They thought it was increased red tape for small businesses, and they thought it was hurting consumers, and they thought it was actually sending people to other regions to do their shopping.
What about the other 150 cities and counties in San Francisco, in California,
well,
that have adopted
it's
these
very,
bans?
Like I've been talking about this for a while now. The fact that these particular ordinances started passing at the local level was not because of organizations like yours, David. I'm sorry. It's because the California Grocers Association sent their lobbyists, whom I've seen at these local hearings, to go down and lobby aggressively because they wanted the local money and they wanted to get the momentum at the state level to pass the state law, which will make them $300+ million annually.
And, John, you didn't have lobbyists also? I mean, you had your lobbyists too, didn't you?
Of course we did, but we're defending.
So whose special interests are we talking about here? We're talking about dueling special interests.
This is an industry, Michael and David. This is an industry that would rather reinvest and has been reinvesting in a number of sustainable activities called recycling. And recycling, another thing you mentioned, the 5% number, it's just inaccurate. 15% of plastic bags are recycled, according to national statistics. Yeah, the other statistic that is, you know, often glossed over is that 65% of these bags are typically reused. And when you combine the reuse rate with the recycling rate, you're talking about a landfill diversion rate of about 85%. But again, we continue to ignore a couple of significant facts, which is, what are the alternatives? What are the alternative products that are coming into play? Under SB 270, we are mandating paper bags, which require seven times the natural resources to produce and require an incredible amount more water to recycle. And then we're talking about the 2.25 mil bags, which are mandated under this law, which are five times thicker versions of the bags that are being banned. And the idea that introducing a five times thicker bag into the state of California is somehow going to reduce plastic, we have just found out through analysis that has been done by a gentleman named Mark Simpson out of San Diego, an independent economic analysis, that 30% more plastic under SB 270, if it passes on November 8th, is going to be coming into the state because these bags are five times thicker.
Are we talking, though, about billions of bags? I mean, when David talks about, for example, clogging creeks and storm drains and all along the bay and the beaches and the highways and the ocean, everything, that's a reality
that most
of us see in California.
Yeah, we know because we see those. We're picking them up. I mean, and in Los Angeles, the stores, after the ban went into place in Los Angeles County, the stores reported that the number of paper bags being used by consumers actually dropped precipitously by about 40%, which is a really hopeful change in consumer behavior to reusable bags that get used over and over and don't end up trashing the environment.
But he's got his point about the grocers. I mean, again, it's special interests here, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what's special, which is that more than 400 businesses and environmental groups, community groups, elected officials have all endorsed Prop 67.
And let me hold that off for the moment because we are coming up on a break, and I want to give listeners an opportunity to weigh in here. There seems to be an avid interest in these two propositions. Always glad when that is indeed the case among you, the citizens here. And if you do want to weigh in, I invite you to do so now. You can do that a number of ways. Our toll-free number is available. You also may have questions. In fact, a number of questions are pouring in as well. So feel free to join the program either by phone, and let me give you the phone number. It's toll-free, 866-733-6786. Is the number for your calls. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. You can also put comments or questions onto our Facebook page. We spoke earlier with KQED science reporter Leslie McClurg. Now, the debate is going on, and it includes John Barrier, spokesperson for the American Progressive Bag Alliance, and David Lewis, executive director of Save the Bay. Again, we welcome your calls and emails and postings on our website or tweets, and we'll go to them when we return. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Environmentalists and the plastic bag industry are facing off over Propositions 65 and 67, and John Barrier and David Lewis facing off here on the program this hour. California Governor Jerry Brown, you may recall, signed a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags back in 2014, but the ban never officially went into effect. The plastics industry stalled it by gathering enough signatures for a referendum to be placed on the November 2016 ballot. That's Proposition 67 that could overturn the law by popular vote. Prop 65 is another measure brought forth by the plastic bag industry. It proposes using the fees that grocery stores charge for bags to fund environmental programs. And looking at some questions here from listeners and some comments from listeners, and we'll go to your calls forthwith here. Let me just read a listener comment here from the top. I agree with either banning plastic bags or forcing them to be recycled. However, many reusable bags are getting thinner and thinner to the point where they're almost the same thing as a regular plastic bag. Environmentalists have gutted an employment base and sent the jobs to China, which shows that wealthier environmentalists don't seem to care for working class manufacturers. The minimal money spent on job retraining is appallingly low to the point of uncaring, even if one does believe in a ban. And Alan writes, would you please define which plastic bags will be regulated? I live in San Francisco, but can still get plastic bags for vegetables, and a local market still has heavier plastic bags to put items in at the cashier. Do you want to respond to that, John Barrier?
SB 270 is specific about bags, you know, the standard plastic bags at, you know, largely grocery stores, large retailers that provide food, not restaurants, they're exempt. And it would ban those, and it would replace them with the charge on paper and a five times thicker version of the plastic bag. So it's a great point. So what bags are still going to be allowed? And I think we discussed this earlier when if you're going to replace or if you're going to ban a product, there's no question that that particular product is not going to exist. But from an environmental perspective, what is going to replace that product? And we've seen the unintended consequences of this type of law, of these types of ordinances, in California and in some small pockets around the country where they actually don't have the intended effect, and they actually increase the use of reusable bags. And the reusable bags largely that are being used are being imported from China by about $500 million a year. Those are nonwoven polypropylene. They are made from petroleum, and then they are shipped on large cargo ships across the ocean and delivered into the United States. And they're not used nearly enough times to offset the natural resources that are used to produce and to ship them into the U.S. So,
and again, we make the point that what we're talking about here are produced from natural gas. These plastic bags are completely recyclable. But a listener, and let me go to you on this, David Lewis, wants to know, a listener named Cyrano wants to know, what about free biodegradable plastic as an alternative to traditional plastic? Is there a cost benefit there?
Well, the challenge with the biodegradable bags is that they don't biodegrade in a lot of situations unless they're in a commercial facility where they're processed. And if they're out in the environment, if they're out in the cold water of the Pacific Ocean or San Francisco Bay, they're not breaking down. They're lasting for a long time. I do want to get back to this allegation of special interest. There's no definition more appropriate than out-of-state industries that are paying to try to tell us what's good for our environment. And that's why there's such a broad support for Proposition 67, not just by environmental groups, cities and counties, but by businesses and business associations all around the state. Sierra Business Council, Los Angeles Business Council, Bay Area Council, Silicon Valley Leadership Group, not only the former not only the current governor, Jerry Brown, but the former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who John actually used to work for, the next two declared candidates for governor, John Chung and Gavin Newsom. And it's all a result of seeing how these local bans work. They do have the intended effect. They drive consumer behavior to reusable bags, some of which are plastic, but are used over and over again, not disposed of in the environment, some of which are cloth, and are used over and over again and are easily cleanable. This is exactly what we want to do. And there may be other plastic products that are contributing to trash that are harder to replace, but plastic bags, we've already seen how well these bans work.
Well, I want to read two comments from listeners that dovetail with what you just said. Nick says, I have to admit I was skeptical until I saw the drastic reduction in bag litter after our local government got rid of bags. Let's take it statewide, then national. And Mike writes, in Alameda County, we've been without plastic grocery bags for 2 years. At first, it was an inconvenience, particularly remembering to bring our own bags to the store. Now it's a done deal. We're conditioned, and most important, it's an essential contribution to the global ecology. And let's go to our callers, and let's hear first from Scott. You're on. Morning.
Hey, guys. Appreciate this show. This is like one of those things where I don't really blame anyone who's defending their industry or defending their jobs, but I think the fact of the matter is in our capitalist society, you know, we live by the sword, and some people have got to die by the sword. So if we're going to lose jobs, we just have to lose jobs. It's just the way it goes as we change in society. And I for one, greatly appreciate not seeing these plastic bags all over the place. I mean, I've noticed a difference over the years. And as far as just changing my own behavior and habits, I simply take my own bags to the store, and every once in a while, I'll get paper bags, but I never recycle them. I always use them for compost, and it just goes into the compost bin. So I'm appreciative of it. And as far as the Prop 65 goes, I think that's just a turf war between industries. I tend to say, don't make those companies put their funds into an environmental fund. That's just more controlling of these corporations who are providing a service to us, the consumer. I'd rather do that other ways as far as protecting our environment. But I would vote no for 65 and yes for 67 myself, if I'm understanding them correctly.
Well, Scott, I thank you for that call, and we'll hear from more callers. I hope you're understanding them correctly. We've done a good deal of work here in trying to bring them into the light as far as understanding them. But let me go to jobs here, John Barrier. I mean, I've seen the figure, and I think you even mentioned of 2,000 manufacturing jobs lost. A number of listeners are wondering how many of these are American jobs?
Well, there's 2,000 in the state of California that support plastic bag manufacturing.
Right, 2,000 in California, right.
Yeah. And there's 25,000 across the country. This is a uniquely American manufacturing industry and a success story because of the innovations and the investments that have been made to recycle and reuse these products. And the at-store take-back programs, which is something that should not be discounted, have been very successful across the country. There's 30,000 points across the country where you can go to your store, take your recyclable plastic bags, put them back in the bin, and they are taken to a recycling center, picked up by the very same trucks that are dropping off the other bags, and they're recycled into new bags, into plastic decking, park benches, et cetera. So the question about which bags are going to be better off for a particular customer, and I think the caller made a point, listen, the industry supports consumer choice. We always have, and we always will. What we don't support is special interests in Sacramento, in the form of the California Grocers Association, concocting a bill to take $300 million per year from consumers and put it into their pockets without having any legitimate environmental benefit, because at the end of the day, this statewide bill, which voters will have an opportunity to decide if to approve or to repeal, provides paper bags and a 5 times thicker version of the plastic bag that we know is reused about 1 to 2 times because of the studies that have been done. And the idea that that is going to somehow benefit the environment is false. The only benefit to the environment is if money from these bags, and we know that 82% of Californians want this money to go to a public purpose, is if that money actually goes to an environmental fund. This bill was passed as an environmental bill. Consumers and voters should expect that there is environmental benefit, and the only way that that happens is with a yes vote on 65 and that money getting redirected to an environmental fund.
And what about the jobs here, David Lewis?
That's completely wrong.
Let me go first to you on the jobs, because there is job loss here. I said 2,000. I was thinking the California figure, obviously, but 25,000 jobs across the country, and you want this to go across the country. That's a lot of jobs.
The bill the industry is challenging with this referendum actually included $2 million in loans to plastic bag manufacturers in California to shift their operations from making these disposable trash that gets handed out for free to making reusable bags. That would have been in place for the last 2 years and available if the industry hadn't done this referendum. And as far as the environmental benefit, it's inarguable unless you're living in your own reality like John apparently is, because the communities that have instituted the local bag bans have seen the results already. In Santa Cruz, there's been an 80% reduction in bag litter on beaches since 2011. And in San Jose, after they banned plastic bags in 2012, they measured 69% fewer plastic bags in the trash screens in their storm drains, 71% fewer plastic bags in their creeks, and that was just after a couple years. And that's why people like Mayor Sam Liccardo from San Jose have been such strong endorsers of this, Julie Packard and the Monterey Bay Aquarium, John Laird, who's the State Resources Agency director. We've seen the benefits, and we want those in the rest of the state.
All right, and we want more callers on here. And, John, let's hear from you next. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Thanks. First, I guess I should be grateful to the plastic bag industry representative. He has brought a lot of organic matter with his special interests to the Bay Area. I wish we could compost it all. But he has brought a whole lot of organic matter with him, and I guess I should be grateful for that. And I hope everybody will understand the way I intend that. There are some things I can't say on the air. I have been buying and using canvas and nylon and polyester shopping bags, not the plastic bag industry versions, but the kinds of tote bags that we have been getting for decades from KQED when we pledge, make great shopping bags. And I have been washing and reusing plastic bags that I get from farmers market and from grocery stores, and I'm looking at the bags drying over my head right now that will get back into reuse when they get shredded. They get put into the bags that do go back to the grocery store. But the whole idea that we're supposed to consume all this plastic is another pile of organic matter represented by the special interest representative, and I don't mean David Lewis from Save the Bay, on your program.
All right, John, let me let that statement stand. It was a bit of an editorial comment, but I appreciate it nonetheless, and I want to get more callers on. I get a lot of people do want to weigh in. Let me go to Ventura next and welcome Bill. Bill, you're on.
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to chime in regarding the couple comments regarding grocers. They didn't start the statewide plastic bag movement. It was environmentalists. SB 270 was a fifth or sixth version of a statewide plastic bag bill, and it's in response to the increasing amount of plastic bag and plastic pollution that impacts wildlife and enters the ocean. This isn't going to solve all the plastic pollution problems, but I think it's a big step in the right direction. Regarding grocers, we hope they get zero funds from the paper bag fees, and same with the environmental fund. We want people to remember their reusable bags on a regular basis. Plastic bag manufacturers in California are already making reusable bags, so the claims of job loss seem dubious at best, especially with the additional loans that are available via SB 270. And also the 15% bag recycling rate the industry spokesman referred to, I think that includes plastic wrap for pallets. It's much easier to recycle. All the stats I've seen for plastic bags are in the single digits when it comes to recycling. And reusing a bag once doesn't divert it from the landfill or from being littered in the future.
All right, Bill, I appreciate your comments, and thank you for those as well. I'm looking actually at a comment from John that I want to read, who says, every study done for the last 40 years has shown that making paper bags uses more energy and produces more pollution than equivalent plastic bags. Plastic bags are a problem for wildlife, as is the cutting of thousands of acres of trees each year to make paper bags. I know of no study that has tried to compare the two as to effects on wildlife. Paper bags contain only 40% recycled content because recycled fiber is not strong enough to make paper bags. I would support banning or charging for all bags, but preferring paper over plastic is nonsensical.
Well, there's no preference for paper over plastic. That's the reason for the fee. If we banned plastic bags and let grocery stores, forced grocery stores, to give away paper bags for free, then that would promote paper bag usage. But I cited the stat earlier in Los Angeles after the plastic bag ban went into place with a fee on paper bags, and the fee is for cost recovery for the stores for the cost of the paper bag. The actual consumer demand for paper bags and use of paper bags went down. We're trying to get people to use a reusable product, and these bans help make that happen. And as several of the callers have mentioned, consumers adjust to this very quickly in places where it's in place. We need it in place in the rest of the state.
Let me get a response from John Barrier to a comment from a listener named Jack, who says, here in Pacifica, our recycling agency doesn't even accept plastic bags. It is my understanding that due mainly to the low price of oil, it is cheaper to make new plastic bags than recycle used ones. Please address this huge factor.
Well, plastic bag recycling has been one of the fastest growing sectors of the recycling market in the country. It's gone from a few million pounds, a decade ago, to hundreds of millions of pounds. And those bags are taken at store locations when they're dropped off in a clean version. And by the way, something that's been, again, ignored in this conversation is the industry, by setting up this recycling infrastructure for plastic bags, has set up an infrastructure to recycle film, overwraps, dry cleaning bags that has never existed and would not exist with the exception of this infrastructure. So by having plastic bag recycling at store locations, you also bring back your film, wraps, dry cleaning bags that otherwise would go into the landfill because they don't have a secondary use. So again, by ignoring recycling, the benefits of recycling, and focusing on bans and charging fees that grocers get to keep as profit on these other bags, like that's what people should really be thinking about. What are the unintended consequences of doing actions like this, of letting government in Sacramento and special interests collude to take money from taxpayers and move it to private corporations? And David can continue to say that it's to replace their cost. It's not. It's 6 cents is what these bags cost. How do we know this? Because members of this industry produce paper in plastic bags, and we know how much they cost and how much they are sold for. So by an almost 100% markup on this product, it's going to result in $300+ million per year for grocers as profit that otherwise, under Prop 65 with a yes vote, could go to environmental programs. That's really what's at stake in November, so callers can talk about their opinions on what particular ones they want to use to take out of the store. Look at the ballot language, understand it, check your facts, and then cast your vote. And that's all we want to do. People in this state right now, in the surveys that we've done, 75% of them have no idea where the money goes. They think it goes to the state. They think it goes to the environment. They have no idea, by and large, that this money is kept by the grocers. When they know that, 82% of them are outraged, and they want that money to go to a public purpose, which is why 65 was the lowest cost ballot initiative out of the 17 that qualified this year to get qualified, and why it's enjoying a 20% margin of support in a recent poll.
Again, so, John Barrier is spokesperson for the American Progressive Bag Alliance, and I've got a caller on from Newark, New Jersey, named Farah, who has a high school senior class here, and let me welcome you, Farah, to the program.
Hi, Michael. We're actually in Newark in the Bay Area, not in New Jersey.
Oh, we got fooled by that. she thought you were over in Newark, New Jersey.
I know, right?
Well, we do actually, you know, we are listened to on Sirius, mainly in the first hour, but so it wouldn't have been a surprise. But you got a whole class listening to us here in Newark?
I do. You guys all want to say hi to Michael?
Hello.
Hi, gang. Good to have you. Yeah.
We are studying the propositions. This is the first time they're going to be voting where they're just on the verge of being adults here. And we're studying the propositions in class. And we studied this morning 65 and 67. So we're listening to your program and taking notes. And
right.
we had a couple questions for Mr. Lewis and Mr. Barrier. One is what is the impact of all of these bags, whether before or after SB 270, for our oceans? My students are very interested in our oceans, being all California kids, and we want to know that. And the second thing we want to know, what was the second thing you guys wanted to know? What about biodegradable bags? How come my students all understood that there was such a thing? And then we heard there wasn't such a thing. They don't biodegrade when Mr. Lewis told us that. And what's the difference?
Okay. Both of these have come up in the course, and I'm really delighted to have your students here with us. But first, biodegradable. Let's see if you can clarify that from your perspective, David Lewis.
Well, it's really exciting that young people are studying this so carefully, so thanks for giving your class time to do that. There are biodegradable bags. They can be advantageous if they're in a place where they can actually biodegrade. And so when plastic bags fly into the ocean, and especially when there's cold water or not enough exposure to sun and other bacteria, the biodegradable bags don't biodegrade. As far as the impact on the ocean, you know, plastic bags are part of the plastic that is choking our oceans, hurting our fish and wildlife. The poisons get into the food chain, and the bags break into small pieces, but they never go away because the plastic is persistent. And that's why so many advocates for oceans and ocean health, not just elected officials, but scientists and environmental organizations and people who work for aquariums and ocean conservation, are trying to reduce the amount of plastic that's getting into the environment. And plastic bags are not the only source, but they're a huge source and a frequently found item when we do coastal cleanups. And they're coming from all of us on land, and they're coming from people who don't dispose of them properly and people who try to, but in places where the bags fly away. And so if they don't end up in the ocean, they're clogging our landfills, they're clogging our single stream recycling processes. And San Jose cites costs of more than $1 million a year just to get plastic bags unclogging their machinery that is sorting through recyclable materials. So they have a huge impact on the ocean. And just one last point. I mean, the reason that the bag industry is sending so much money trying to prevent us from having this ban in place statewide is because of the profits they make selling the product. They're not here for public interest benefits. And California is also a leader So when we do things, that has an impact in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world. So the overall ban, the overall worldwide movement and global movement to try to reduce plastic getting into our oceans, this Prop 67 is really kind of ground zero in that battle. And if we establish the ban statewide, that's good for the global movement to protect our oceans.
Well, we'll get response from John Barrier. Before we do, John, I want to go to a couple of comments here since we have a whole classroom listening that I think are pertinent. Kim Alexander of the California Voter Foundation tweeted us, and she writes, please tell voters Prop 67 is a referendum. Vote yes to affirm the law passed by the California legislature. Many voters automatically vote no on all propositions. And then and another important fact, the Legislative Analyst's Office, right now, when you forget to bring your reusable bag to the store and hand over a dime for a paper bag, the store does keep your money. It's a lot of talk from John, of course, about grocers' interest in this. But the Legislative Analyst's Office estimates that amounts to about several tens of millions of dollars annually. And let me go to you, John Barrier. First, the oceans.
Sure. I appreciate David continuing to stick with the very consistent talking points from some of the activist groups. But the reality is, when folks like David write or get on the radio and talk about this issue, what they say is that there is plastic in the ocean, it's choking our wildlife, et cetera, and no amount of plastic, no amount of garbage in the ocean is acceptable. But the reality is when you're focusing on a policy, when you're focusing on a law, you're trying to solve a problem. And when you focus on plastic retail bags, which, as I said at the top of the show, in anywhere it's been studied, largely less than 1% of the count of litter is plastic retail bags. But it's typical for folks like David to say, we have to ban these bags because there's plastic in the ocean, so we have to ban plastic retail bags. The studies that have been done analyzing plastic pollution in the ocean largely have found that it's plastic fishing line, fishing gear, bags from fishermen's trucks. And yes, there is trash in the ocean, and no amount is acceptable. But you're not going to solve a problem or even create a dent in the problem by focusing on plastic retail bags when they, in fact, don't have a significant impact on that litter and on marine debris.
We are creating a dent, and the listeners who called in told you what they're seeing with their eyes here.
Yeah, let him finish.
So I'm trying to finish. What you, in fact, do is distract from more pressing concerns for the marine environment, such as ocean acidification. And folks like, folks at the Woods Hole Institute in the Northeast have said very specifically, by focusing on this issue, by focusing on bag bans or bag taxes, you are distracting from much larger issues facing our environment. And when you have environmentalists who are saying that and understand that this is really just a political game that is being played, and when you're targeting a particular product, it's not going to have a meaningful benefit.
And you would go back to the argument you gave before about the biodegradability of these plastic bags? You're confident that they have complete biodegradability?
Biodegradability. So no product should be littered. And biodegradable bags is, I agree 100% with David. They have to be in a certain environment so that they do biodegrade. They're also not economically feasible at this stage of the game for grocers to purchase because they're very expensive. But at the end of the day, yes, if you throw away a biodegradable bag, it's not going to biodegrade in the landfill. So it's not a smart choice at this stage of the game.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt you again, John, because we actually have a local grocer who's calling us. I want to hear what he has to say. Steve is calling from Sacramento. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, we're a small grocer. We're not a big Safeway. It costs us 16 cents to buy a paper bag, and that's just the cost of the bag. It doesn't include the labor to move them, the storage, and everything else. So even when we're charging 10 cents, we're losing 6 cents, which means we're going to be losing a lot of money if 65 passes. And guess who's going to pay for that? Customers who we shouldn't be subsidizing this cost. You have an option of not paying for a bag, but if you do, then gosh, we should be able to at least recoup our price, don't you think?
I do, actually. And I just want to say it's nice of John to sort of insult our intelligence from a distance. As Californians, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can reduce plastic pollution of the ocean from bags and focus on other environmental impacts and other plastic sources. And we are doing that. I would say back to the classroom of students who are studying this, thanks for Kim Alexander for that clarification on the referendum. One of the most important things when you're studying how to vote is to follow the money. who is paying to put this measure on the ballot? Who is paying to try to influence your opinion with their money? And fortunately, with our campaign finance disclosure laws, you can see that the plastic bag industry has already spent millions and trying to spend millions more to not only put these measures on the ballot, but convince you to vote the wrong way.
All right, forgive me. We got seconds left. I want to give John Barrier a final say here.
I think the only money that people should be focused on is the money that they're paying for bags when they go to the grocery store. That money does not go to a public purpose. 82% of Californians wanted to go to a public purpose. With a yes vote on Proposition 65, that money will be redirected from corporate grocers to an environmental fund that will support worthy environmental programs in the state. I guarantee you that on November 9th, when the votes are cast and Proposition 65 goes into effect, that David and every other environmental group in the state will be clamoring for the money, and they will be very happy that Proposition 65 was successful.
All right, we'll leave it there because we are out of time. John Barrier, thank you for joining us. John Barrier, spokesperson for the American Progressive Bag Alliance. He was with us from Sacramento. David Lewis was here in studio. He's executive director of Save the Bay. We also had Leslie McClurg, our new science reporter from KQED. And now it's up to you, the voters, to decide. Thank you for listening to this hour of Forum. Pleased to have had you with us. And we're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer today is Jim Bennett. Engagement producers are Amanda Stupai and Jeremy Siegel. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and executive producer is Joanne Wallace. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.